Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Number one, and I want to give you a little thought out of here, and I won't be that long tonight, but I do have a thought I want to give you, and maybe we can learn from it tonight, and I sure love the Lord tonight, don't you? And I thank Him for His blessings, amen. I thank Him for being good to me, and I'm thankful for a nice warm house or a nice cool house, however you want to say it, to go home to, and I appreciate the Lord tonight. We're a blessed people, and I mean what I'm fixing to say. When you see what I've saw the past few days, we have no excuse to complain tonight. None. I've never saw a bad day. I've never had a bad day in my life, and I'm thankful for the Lord's blessings. Jonah chapter number one, and I'll give you a little thought out of here. And I'm talking a little bit, giving you time to find it. It's in between Genesis and Revelation. Jonah chapter number one. If you got an R.L. Allen, it's 9:42. If you got a Schofield, I don't have a clue. I remember as a boy growing up, though, that's what they always said, Brother Matt. They said, now, if you've got an old Oxford Schofield, it'll be page such and such. And I used to have one, and then I got old and had to use a large print. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Jonah chapter number one, you know the story. I'm sure everybody here is familiar with the story of Jonah. And I want to read you one verse, and then I'm going to give you a thought. The Bible said Jonah chapter number 1 and verse number 17. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And can I just say this? I believe that. I believe that. And I believe He swallowed up Jonah. I believe Jonah died. Because the Bible said He did, and if He didn't die, then Jesus didn't die. Because the Bible said in the New Testament, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the earth. And I believe He died, amen. But I believe what He said. God prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And I want to preach on this thought or talk to you about this thought for just a little while. What happened in them 3 days? What happened in those 3 days? 3 days and three nights, he was in the belly of the whale. And everybody's in your mind, you're thinking about Jonah, but I'm thinking about Nineveh. What happened in them 3 days in Nineveh? What's going on? And in which we're going to look at all of chapter number one, and maybe we can learn something from. Father, I love You. Help us tonight. Thank You, God, for the privilege to preach. Thank You, God, for a beautiful sanctuary to gather in tonight. Thank You, Lord, for health and strength. Lord God, please be with our friends, not only in Western North Carolina, God, but all over the U.S. that's been affected by this storm. God, help them, strengthen them, God, as only You can. Save that sinner closest to hell that may be here. Bring that backslidden back to You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Jonah is a very interesting book. It's just four short chapters, and I believe everything that the book of Jonah talks to us about tonight. I believe the Word of God says what it means and means what it says. Amen. I don't believe in trying to say, well, it was this or it's that. No, it says what it means and it means what it says. Amen. The best thing we can do is accept what it says and apply that into our life. Now, when you come to chapter 1 through 4 of Jonah, whenever you study it out, in chapter number 1, he's running from God, and because of that, there's punishment in his life. Jonah runs from the presence of the Lord. And, of course, God tells him to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And because of that, there's punishment in his life. He's running from God in punishment. But in chapter number 2, he's running for God or running to God in prayer. Of course, he begins to pray. And God delivers him out of the fish's belly. Chapter number 3, he's running for God in preaching. If he would have just done the beginning of chapter number 1, and chapter number 2, what happened in chapter number 2 would have never been there. What happened in chapter number 1 would have never been there. If he had just went in chapter number 1, these 3 days would not have been there. Amen. He would have been in the center of God's will, and punishment wouldn't have come on his life. But because of the punishment, he prays. God speaks to his heart, and here's something that's interesting. What God told him to do in chapter number 1 didn't change in chapter number 3. Are you hearing me? The will of God never changed for Jonah's life. And if God speaks to you about something and you try to go a different direction, the will of God's not changing in your life. I do understand God does change the ministries in our lives sometimes, but the will of God never changed for Jonah. And Jonah would have been a whole lot further ahead down the road if he'd have just done it in the first place. Amen. But he's like all of us. Somebody say amen right here. We're a little hard-headed every once in a while. So there's punishment. He's running from God. There is prayer. He's running to God. There is preaching. He is running for God. But then there is protesting. He's running ahead of God in chapter number 4. Jonah protests what God does for Nineveh. Why did Jonah not want to go to Nineveh? Well, some says it's because of what they've done to missionaries there, and I believe that that may be part of it, but one of the reasons whenever you study it out is because Jonah didn't want Nineveh to have revival. Jonah wasn't interested in Nineveh having revival. And can I say something to you tonight? It's up to God where he sends revival. It's up to me to listen to him and go where he tells me to go. And here's the thing. I believe that God would have helped Nineveh if Jonah continued to rebel. I really believe that God would have helped them. But that word would have come through someone else, and someone else would have got the blessing of it. God will use you if you will allow God to use you. He'll use you. Chapter number 1, whenever we look at it, God has called Jonah, and he's now running from God. And because of that, there is a punishment on his life. In verses number 1 and 2, you'll find that there is Jonah's commission. There's the call, there's the city, and there's the cry. But in verse number 3, there's Jonah's chorus. There's his destination, his disobedience, his direction. But then in verses 4 through 17, there is Jonah's consequences. Think about this. He is caught in a storm. He is caught in his sin. He is caught in the sea. And ultimately, he's caught in a great fish. And all of it could have been prevented if Jonah would have just listened to God, just done what God said do. Here's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in these 3 days. What happens in these 3 days? I want to say something to you tonight. Just as God had a plan for Jonah's life, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. God has, I'll say it this way, and don't fall out with me, but I believe God has a call for your life. No, not all are called to preach, but God has something for you to do. And it's up to you to do that. I believe this. I believe there's some things that God would use you to do. And if you choose not to do that, then I believe that there will be people that ultimately die and go to hell because of that. I'll show that to you right here in the life of Jonah in just a minute. So these 3 days, as we look at it tonight, here's some things that happened in these 3 days. I got 4 simple things wrote down tonight. Can I say this? Number 1, there was a ship that was spared. Or could I say it this way? There was some sailors that was spared. There was some sailors that was spared. When you think about this in the life of Jonah, Brother Rodney, I'm going to have to switch mics. I got to move around a little bit. Y'all just hold on. I said, don't nobody leave. No, I'm picking. Go ahead. Watch this. When you think about it tonight and you look at these sailors was doing their ordinary everyday business. They was doing what they do. They was sailing. But what happened? Somebody got in their boat out of the will of God.
And you know what it done? It disrupted their whole life. Why? Because somebody was there out of the will of God. Can I say something to you tonight? The will of God is very important. And can I say this to you? The will of God is not a mystery tonight. It's not, some people says, well, boy, I'm trying my best to discern the will. The will of God is not a mystery tonight. I was thinking about this. I sent Brother Brian a text message today, and Brother Brian, when I got done texting that, the Lord gave me a verse because I believe God will speak through his word, amen? And here's what he said. He said, I'm not the author of confusion. The will of God is not a mystery tonight. If you're running around in circles trying to figure out what's going on in your life, that's not of God. That's not of God. And God will show you his plan for his life. He was very plain with Jonah. He was very specific with Jonah. Then it was up to Jonah to listen to that. But Jonah runs away from that. And because he does, now there is a bunch of boys on a ship, a bunch of sailors living their everyday life. And their life is in jeopardy because of Jonah. But when Jonah gets off the boat, you know what happens? Here's what happens. Their life is spared. Their life is spared. They were some sailors that was spared. You know what? I bet as they sailed away, they said something like this. Boy, I'm glad we got rid of him. I'm glad he's gone. And I thought about this. If Jonah would have stayed on that boat, hear me right here. I believe God could have potentially destroyed every bit of it to get to Jonah. You see, what you do has an effect on everybody around you. It's not, we have this mindset, well, it's just affecting me. If I leave the church, it just affects me. If I do this, it affects everybody around you. It affects everybody around you. If you don't think it affects everybody around you, go ask Tamar tonight, who was raped by her own half-brother, who was the son of David that committed adultery with Bathsheba and tried to cover his sin up. And because of that, the man of God said, the sword will never depart from your house. You see, it affected more than David. His sin affected more than him. It affected more than Bathsheba. But it had affected a whole generation. Now, what I want you to see tonight is it's so important to be in the will of God because it does affect others around us tonight. Whenever he got out, there were some sailors that was spared that night. There were some sailors that was spared. Number two, I thought about this. Those 3 days, what was it? There was a saying out of God's will. Jonah's not in the will of God, man. He's not in the will of God whenever he leaves to go away. And he's definitely not in the will of God. Right here, watch this. Here's what happens when you get out of the will of God. Verse number three. The Bible said, and went down to Joppa. On in the verse, he said, went down into it. In verse number five, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. Watch this, verse 15, cast him forth into the sea. So he went down into the sea. In verse number 17, a great fish to swallow him up. He not only went down into the sea, he went down into the fish's belly. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. There was a saying out of the will of God, and while he's living out of the will of God now, there's a bunch of sailors that's in trouble, and their life is lying on the line all because of a saint being out of God's will. I thought about this whenever you look at that verse, Brother Josh. It goes on to say this, that he went down into the ship and to the sides of it and lay fast asleep. There he is, out of the presence of God, out of the will of God, a man that God's hand was one time on, a man that God wants to use to bring quite possibly the greatest revival that's ever been recorded in history is in the book of Jonah. All of Nineveh gets right. Every one of them. Here is a man out of God's will running from the presence of God. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you running from him? What is it that God may have been working and stirring in your heart about and dealing with you about? And boy, we push that to aside. Now, I want to say something. Whenever you're praying and truthfully seeking the will of God and making sure it's His voice, that's not running from God. But when it goes on and on and on and on, you're running from God. You're running from God. He ends up in a place where they're in a storm, man, and he's asleep. He don't even realize anymore that there's lives laying on the line all around him. Number one, there is a ship or sailors that is spared. Number two, there is a saint out of his will in these 3 days. Right here's where I really wanted to get to and just settle in for just a few minutes, and it's 15 till. Give me just a little bit of time, and I'll be done. What happened in these 3 days? There's a bunch of souls died and went to hell. You say, preacher, do you believe that? Do you think nobody died in Nineveh for those 3 days? Do you think that God just decided, well, I'm going to stop everybody from dying in Nineveh because there's a backslidden preacher out of my will? No, friend, time went on. The death angel kept passing by. Are you hearing me tonight? Souls kept passing off into eternity. I wonder how many people did die in them 3 days. You see, it does affect more than just us. It does. Hey, when we pull up at the gas station and we get some gas and we go in and pay for it. Let me back up and rephrase that. We don't go in and pay for gas no more. Whenever we go to the restaurant and we get something to eat and we go to pay for our meal and God says, hand that person a gospel tract, but we're afraid of what they may think of us or holding the line up behind us and we don't do that. Is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? I wonder if that was the person God put in our path for that day. And because of our pride, we let it get in the way and that soul end up dying and going to hell. Why? Because there's a saying out of God's will. You say, well, preacher, it's just a gospel tract, but if God said do it, if God said do it, I thought about this. I remember when God started dealing with me to preach, and it wasn't long. It was just a few days before I surrendered my call to preach. But I want to ask you something tonight. If you're sitting here tonight, and I don't know your heart, but maybe there's a young man or an old man or a man that fits qualifications of a preacher, and God's been stirring around in your heart about that, and you push it to the side and push it to the side and push it to the side. I wonder how many souls could have got saved through your preaching if you would just surrender to the will of God in your life. Anybody hearing me tonight? God spoke to you about talking to somebody for Him and witnessing to somebody for Him. Man, I'm telling you something. If anything, the past few days has reminded me that life is short and that in just a split second, our life can be turned upside down and people that you love be gone so quickly and maybe we've never told them about God. Maybe God spoke to you about speaking to a family member. What happened in those 3 days? Some people went to hell. That's what happened. Oh, but preacher, what if they say this or what if they say that? The truth of the matter is this. They are going to say something. Either way, Brother Josh, people is going to talk about us. Anybody hearing the preacher tonight? Either way, they're going to say something about us. I've come to this conclusion. They're going to like you or they're not going to like you. They're going to say good about you or they're going to say bad about you. They're going to say good about you in front of you and bad about you behind you. Are you with me? They're going to say something. But boy, if God spoke to our heart about it and if God laid it on our heart, what are we doing just sitting around while souls are dying and going to hell? Oh, but preacher, I just can't talk to them. Hogwash. You can talk to them about everything else. You can speak to them about everything else. You can talk to them about hunting. You can talk to them about fishing. You can talk to them about trucks. Somebody help the preacher tonight. You can talk to them about guns. You can talk to them about pocketbooks. I ain't leaving you women out. You can talk to them about shopping. Oh, but preacher, what do you love them or not? Do you love them or not? I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm going to tell you something. You read the Word of God, you look at America today, you look at the world today, you look at what he says about the times when he's coming back, honey, you better get ready. I believe they've got the food in the oven in heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're fixing to leave out of here. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe, you say, preacher, how close do you think we are to the coming of the Lord? Take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter number 4. Go with me, Revelations, that's easy to find. Go with me to Revelation chapter number 4. It's after or just before Genesis. Here's what he said. Verse number 22 of chapter 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. After this I looked up, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Watch this. And immediately. Did you catch that? Immediately. You know what that means? As soon as he says, come up, before he ever gets to hither, I'm looking at him. Immediately. I'm not going through one bit of the tribulation. We're leaving out in chapter number 4 and coming back in chapter number 19. Amen. Now look in verse number 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto him. If your Bible's like mine, the next part says chapter number 4. Am I right on that? And there's probably a little bit of space between where it says chapter number 4 and the first word after. Is there a little bit of space right there? Take your pen and draw a line in between that space and put this. That's where we at. That's how close we are to the coming of the Lord. We're past verse 22. We're past chapter number 4. We're right before getting out of here, man. And if we've ever done anything for God, if we've ever told anybody anything about God, if we've ever witnessed to anybody about God, if we've ever served God, if we've ever lived for God, if we've ever had a godly witness, hear me and hear me well. It's high time that we do it. If we've ever served God, it's time to serve Him. If we've ever sung for Him, it's time to sing for Him. If we've ever taught a Sunday school lesson, it's time to do it. If we've ever had the power of God resting on our life, it's time to have it. He's coming, and souls are going to hell. While we sit around in verse 17 of chapter number 1, I'm telling you what happened that those 3 days. There's some people went to hell. There's some people went to hell. You say, preacher, could it have been prevented? Absolutely, it could have. Absolutely, it could have. God called a man to go preach, and he didn't do it. Say, preacher, what happened those 3 days? Well, number one, I would say this. There was some sailors that were spared. There was some saints out of his will, or there was a saint, not some. There was some sinners that died lost. So I give you this in closing. I told you I wasn't going to preach that long. I'll give you this in closing. There was Satan that was, and I'm just going to put it in our language, tickled to death. Satan was tickled to death. Let me tell you the reason why he accomplished what he wanted to do. Don't you hear what I'm going to say to you tonight? Satan can't do one thing with my salvation. Name one thing he can do with my salvation. Not one thing. He can't get it. That he knows that. He knows that I've got a hedge about me. He knows that read the book of Job, man. He knows that. But let me tell you what Satan can do. He can keep me from serving God. He can keep me from witnessing for God. He can keep me from walking in the will of God. That's what he can do tonight. And Brother Josh, when he does that, he is so happy. He is tickled to death. Maybe as those individuals fell off, and I understand the Bible, I understand his forecast, I understand all that. Okay, so don't try to correct me on everything. I'm preaching it in our dispensation, and I'm not taking it out of context. And some of those people, and some don't even understand everything that I just said, but some of you do. There's some people fell off into hell. Son, Satan danced about with glee. Satan danced about with glee. Said, son, if we can keep Jonah from doing God's will, there's more we can drag into hell. I want to ask you a question tonight. What's God got for your life? Are you doing it? Are you doing it? You said, preacher, it's awful quiet. Maybe it needs to be for a minute. Are we doing it? What has God placed us here for? I want to tell you something. Our lives, I don't care what your mom and daddy said, you're not here by mistake. Okay? Some of y'all will get that in a little while too. You're not here by mistake. You're here because God wanted you to be here. And the reason you're still alive is because God wants you to be alive. If God was done with you, God had done took you out of here. If God didn't have something for you to do, he'd done took you out of here. God spared our lives over and over and over again. Matter of fact, we don't even know how many times God has spared our lives. Are you with me? We don't even know how many times God has spared our lives. He's done that over and over and over again. Why? Because he has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. He has a will for your life. You say, preacher, what is that? Man, get in his word and study his word, and he'll make it real to you. We don't have to wander around in confusion and jump here and there thinking, man, is it this or is it that? No, God's got a will. Get in church, read the Bible, and serve him. And when we don't, I promise you, it tickles Satan to death. Tickles Satan to death. Tickles Satan to death. I'll ask you a question. Miss Tanya's coming to play softly. Are you doing what God has for you to do? I'll never forget. One time I was talking to my pastor, and all of you know that was my dad for years, and I was talking about this, and I was talking about that, and I was talking about this, and I was talking about that. I was talking about going here, going there, pastoring, or being a missionary, being an evangelist, or Brother Orange is just, I was just excited. I just want to do something. And I'll never forget what Daddy told me. Here's what he said. And y'all have heard me say this. Matter of fact, I've said it with some of y'all individually, and we've talked about this. A lot of y'all, we've said individually and talked about this. But here's what Daddy said. Brother Aaron, he looked at me, and he said, son, just bloom where you planted. I said, do what? I mean, Brother Tim, God called me to preach. I need to be on the road. I need to be doing something. He said, just bloom where you planted. And I said, what do you mean? And here's what he said. He said, if you'll never bloom where you're planted, God will never bloom you nowhere else. He said, just bloom where you planted. Be faithful. And at the right time, God will do what he wants to do with your life. So, preacher, what's God's will for my life? Here it is, number one, to get saved. If you're not saved, it's his will for you to get saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everybody. Everybody. I saw a guy, and let me just say this. The best thing you can do, me and my wife had a long talk about this today, is turn social media off. I'm just telling you, it's the best thing you can do. I've been so mad over the past 48 hours over stupidity. I talked to Ryan Hayes today. It's not stupidity, it's stupidity. Okay? Just stupid stuff. said, "Preacher, you should, the kids ain't in here tonight, all right? Stupid stuff." And man, it'll just, Brother Josh, it'll just tear your gallbladder out and ruin your whole day. I don't even remember what I was going to tell you now. I'm going to tell you something. You need to turn it off. See, it'll mess your mind up. Don't you listen to what I'm going to say to you tonight. Find the will of God. Settle in the will of God. And allow God to use you in His will. Don't have 3 days. Does that make sense? Don't have 3 days. God's got a plan, man. Get in it and serve. It's His will for you to get saved. Come back to me. And I saw this nut on social media try to take that verse about not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance, and say that it was God's will not for everybody to be saved. And that's the reason he said that. And I thought, I ain't going to tell you what I thought. Don't ask me afterwards either. It's His will for you to get saved. After you get saved, it's His will for you to surrender your life to Him. That's the will of God, for you to surrender your life to Him and plug in and serve Him. And if He wants you somewhere else at some point along the way, you know what He'll do? He'll put you there. Don't have 3 days, man. Don't make the devil happy. Don't be the result of somebody dying and going to hell because you wasn't in your place serving. Amen. Father, I love you.